He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on a Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. It is Football Friday. It is a great time to be a football fan here in the Central Valley. Big weekend ahead of us, and I hope you are excited to get there as much as I am. I am eager to get there as well, counting down the minutes till we have some football here, whether you're going to a game tonight, whether you're getting ready to watch Fresno State Kansas tomorrow, or hey, maybe you're on your way to the airport right now flying to Kansas yourself and getting ready to support the Bulldogs tomorrow night. So can't wait for that. Can't wait to get into all of it here in the next 2 hours of our show. It is a big weekend, big sports weekend here in the Central Valley. Like I said, we'll dive into it momentarily. But first, big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D, of course, the host of the Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 on weekdays. Be sure to check out his show. If you missed any of his show, you can go live on demand on the 1430 ESPN app. And on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website. That's where you find it. So there you go. We also have our shows live and on demand as well on those platforms. We've got Palmetto's show as well, the Central Valley Sports Report, which will be back tomorrow from 10 a.m. to noon on those platforms as well. So be sure to check it out. We are also have some great sponsors here for our show. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, sponsoring, of course, our hotline, the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show if you want to call in. Once again, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Lee's Air Weather Check, and we've been anticipating this one for a little bit now. Currently, I have a temperature at 107 right now. Outside, 107, that is correct. We'll get up to 108 by the next hour or so. And we'll dip back in many of those kickoffs, including ours, will be sitting at around 105, it looks like, in terms of that. Far cry from last year, by the way. I recall week one being a very cool, unseasonably cool night of football. I think we were in somewhere in like the low 70s in some places here in the Central Valley. So a very different story than last year to this year. So 100 degrees. We'll be in the 90s by 10 p.m. Excuse me. It'll be warm. It'll be hot. Stay cool, folks. Be very vigilant in how you are handling yourself tonight. Sitting in the sun, sitting in whatever, bring some shade, bring some cooling stuff, bring some water, all of this stuff. Stay hydrated, stay cool out there, including the athletes as well. Want to make sure everybody handles the heat as best as possible. So there you go. We also have our 3 o'clock hour sponsor, Clovis Truck Center. Clovis Truck Center, formerly known as Linex of Clovis. They're the first, the biggest, and still the best in the Central Valley. And they are bigger than the Bedliner. Clovis Truck Center, found just south of the Clovis Rodeo Grounds in Old Town Clovis. Tell them Phil Bonatti sent you for all your truck, SUV, and car needs. We also are live streaming in some form or fashion soon, momentarily. We will be live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. We also have our social media accounts as well, which is at ESPN Fresno. Most likely, that's the best way you can find us, ESPN Fresno, in all capacities on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, all of the great platforms out there. You stay connected with yours truly here in in the Central Valley Sports Leader Station universe. So there you go. We're running some great stuff on there as well, including just another reminder. We got our promotion with Grocery Outlet, talking with Northwest, Downtown, and Southeast Fresno, including also the Sanger and Kerman locations. Do you want to be tailgate ready for the football games this fall? Well, ESPN Fresno and Grocery Outlet is going to help you get hooked up with that. That's right. We have a contest running where you could win 2 tickets to a Fresno State home game this year and $100 towards your tailgate, courtesy of a Grocery Outlet gift card. You can shop there, get ready for all your tailgate food, beverage items that you need for your tailgate for the upcoming home game. I know Georgia Southern right around the corner. We're going to have a winner next week. So that is right around the corner for y'all, and we can't wait to see it all in action there. So sign up quick. You get a chance to win the first game. We're going to do it 6 times each for one for each Fresno State home game this year. So we'll pick a winner at the beginning of the week and keep it rolling. Your name is in a pool of possible winners. The sooner you sign up, the better it is there for you. So there you go. Can't wait to see people win that prize. Get tailgate ready with Grocery Outlet. All right, what's on our show? What's on our docket for today? We got 2 hours. We're going up to 5 o'clock because yours truly cannot click his heels and just appear at Collegian. So we got to get a little bit of grace, a little bit of time to get over there. We're going to sign up at 5 o'clock today, get you ready at pregame at 6:30 tonight. We're on the air 6:30, kickoff at 7 p.m. It'll be Central East and Englewood. So what are we going to be talking about today? A lot of high school football in the conversation. Central East, I'm going to have a Flashback Friday interview. We interviewed them a couple weeks ago. The Flashback Friday interview with E.J. Morgan and Brandon Smith. I want to play that interview today just to get you in the mindset of what Central East is thinking about going into this game. So I can't wait to revisit that one from a couple weeks ago. So we'll have that interview in this hour. Also coming up in this show in the next hour, in the 4 o'clock hour, Paul Matters is going to join us talking all the high school football stuff that's going on. Look at the slate of games that are happening tonight, and maybe some overall picture, maybe some predictions. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard with the high school level sometimes with the prediction. But we'll see where the conversation goes. I'm going to do another Benatti's Best tonight, and we'll get into some other news items and get you set. What are you watching this weekend? I think I have a good idea of what the majority of people are going to be watching this weekend. But that's just for another time. But anyways. We're here. We're live. I'm going to get Jorge on at some point. He's working on the stream side of things, so it looks like he's a little preoccupied. But what do we got here as far as it's concerned? Well, let me go over some of the scores from last night. We did have some Central Section scores in football from last night, so I wanted to make sure people are up to date on the action in terms of that. We had 5 games in the Central Section yesterday. It's a pretty lopsided score. We had a decently close one somewhere else. But how about McLean last night opening up their season? They have a lot of potential, including coming off of that great season last year. McLean with an opportunity to make a statement, and they certainly did when they hosted Avenal. How about a 65-0 McLean over Avenal last night in their home opener. So McLean a winner, and they are 1-0. On their young season. How about Reedley hosting Fresno? Reedley really running it away with it there. 47-6 was your final there in Reedley. Ridgeview in a battle in Bakersfield taking on South. Ridgeview gets a 20-0 victory over there. Miramonte and Delano last night. Delano, a 35-24 win over Miramonte last night as well. And then the final game of the evening, Mission Oak out in Tulare hosting Sanger West. Mission Oak, a winner in that one, 28-7. So there you go. That is on the results from last night. course, I'm kind of stealing the thunder of Paul Metters here. Paul usually has all these scores he loves to rip off. But I'm going to take the duties, at least for the Thursday side of things. I know we got a lot of games to get to on Friday's slate as well. Plenty of them in action. I'm just going to do a little quick scroll through just to remind you folks of what we've got potentially tonight, including some games, you know, to pay attention to. Sierra Pacific and Wood Lake I got at 7 o'clock. How about Union over at – Tulare Union over at St. Joseph's tonight. Bullard hosted at Clovis East. We talked to Bullard football yesterday. They're hyped up for this game, I'm sure, and can't wait to see what that result will be. How about a Fireball at Chowchilla tonight? Madera and Sunnyside, two teams looking to get off to a good statement win there. Like I said, Clovis West, at Edison was a fun game last year. We'll see what comes of it this year. Bakersfield Christian at Faith Lutheran. About Kingsburg at Paso Robles as I continue to scroll. Corcoran at Roosevelt, interested in that one. What else do we got? We got some Kerman at Torres tonight in Madera. Taft at Emmanuel. Buchanan at Bakersfield. Oak Ridge at Frontier of Bakersfield. Of course, I got to shout out Riverdale and Tranquility for our producer's sake. Hoover at El Capitan. Kalinga at Carruthers. Let's see, what else we got? Redwood at Centennial of Bakersfield there, a break matchup. San Joaquin Memorial at Clovis North tonight. Kennedy at Hanford tonight. Dinuba at Sanger. What else we got? Clovis at CVC. That's an 8 p.m. start tonight. And how about some Exeter at Shafter at 8 p.m.? Hanford West at Fowler, just to name a few. I cannot get to every single one, but there's some of the slate there for football. So excited to get into it. Excited to dive into it all. I think even there's some Saturday games tomorrow. Just one, Emmanuel Christian and Valley Oaks Charters. Okay, nothing crazy there on the Saturday side of things. So, yeah, a lot of big results, a lot of statements potentially made tonight. Can't wait to see it all. Jorge is got the stream going, it looks like, now. So we got the YouTube, Facebook, Twitch stream going here. And now you think he is ready to assume his position behind the mic. Jorge, I know maybe a little stressful the last 10 minutes there, but everything good? We're good? You're not on. I got you on here, but...
There we go.
There you go. Hello.
Fixing some last-minute stuff and, you know, got to get everything ready.
Of course. Of course. No stress, though.
I have a back-to-back show, so...
I know. You and Tony and then you and me. Here for the next few hours. Oh,
but we got this.
Exactly. I want to start here just with a little bit of a news item today, and I want to move outside of the high school football side of things because the Niners are making moves. I want to acknowledge it at the top because I don't know when I'm going to be able to acknowledge it here later. Maybe in my power rankings, which is coming in the next hour here, we're going to do the continuation of the NFL power rankings. But Brian Robinson is coming to San Francisco. I believe the trade involves a sixth-round pick. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that is it for Brian Robinson coming to San Francisco via the Commanders. So going to be interesting to see what his impact will be on the 49ers. I think he's been an interesting last few years for him, obviously. His story of being a rookie and him coming off of a gunshot wound, you know, it's kind of crazy how his production has dipped and also improved over the last few years. But he did kind of cap out last year in terms of it. So I'm wondering where his mileage was when it came to that. But Brian Robinson's going to be an interesting figure for this team, for the 49ers. He's been through, three seasons now. 41 games, 2,300 yards total. His career high in a season right now is just a shy of 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. That was last season. But he is coming off of a career high in production, 4.14 yards per carry. I think there's a decent upside to this addition. I think sixth-round pick feels like a pretty decent price for Brian Robinson. How do you feel, Jorge, about Brian Robinson becoming a 49er, backing up Christian McCaffrey? I got to imagine it feels a little better after all of these injuries we've seen from the 49ers' perspective that Now there's a legit guy behind McCaffrey if in case McCaffrey does end up falling to the injury bug again.
Well, this is McCaffrey was already in form. They said he was good to go. However, there's they did get Garando's injury. I feel like they got bad news about it. So it's not, you know, it's nothing that they can do about it. So grabbing a guy that, you know, could help him out in the depth chart, I think that's good. I believe he'll be third behind who was it? The guy they got 2 weeks ago, Williams, I think.
Yeah,
he was already with the Niners before, but I think just having, you know, extra guys in the especially a running back, which could be, you know, 1 week you could be fine, the next week you could, you know, have two guys down, and it happened to us last year, so. You know, we don't want to be caught off guard anymore.
Yeah. Niners, of course, coming off of a couple of moves here. Yes, 2 days ago they added Sky Moore. This trade will not be official, by the way. Brian Robinson will not be official unless he passes his physical. He's flying over to San Francisco right now, so that's still pending the physical, which sometimes, you know, you never know. But I think this creates a little bit more depth. I think this is kind of I really like the move. I really think the move is something that the Niners can kind of have something to lean on. I think there's still some decent upside for him. And this guarantees you somewhat of an insurance policy for the McCaffrey situation. If obviously McCaffrey's healthy right now, but you can't just rely on that anymore in terms of the 49ers. Having a legit number two guy, change of pace guy, feels like you can afford yourself a lot of times to rest McCaffrey in some certain series if you need to. Give Brian Robinson an opportunity. And I think this is a perfect 1-2 punch for the 49ers moving forward. Guy with McCaffrey's skill set that can be involved in all facets of the game. And Robinson, who feels like somewhat of a more traditional back situation kind of guy, but does have upside in being a maybe a, you know, just a different change of pace when it comes to it. So from that perspective, maybe the Niners just become more of that kind of run game kind of team with it. But I feel a whole lot better about the Niners situation with him on this roster as opposed to what I felt maybe a couple days ago. So, and I imagine you're feeling the same way.
Yeah. I think we got, you know, good players that are going to do well this season.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's difficult to to know what is going to happen, especially with the injuries. But I feel this gives you a security blanket on if something happens, then you have, you know, another guy that could do a pretty good job.
Yeah. So we'll see. Brian Robinson, pending a physical, will become a 49er if that goes through. So we'll see if that does. So. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do our Flashback Friday interview. That is with some of the Central East football guys, EJ Morgan, Brandon Smith. I had an interview with them a couple weeks ago. We're going to re-air that interview right here, get you set for our big matchup tonight. So stay with us. Behind the Bench, just getting started here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. It's a Friday, which means it's a Flashback Friday to one of our good interviews we've had in the recent past. And this is pretty relevant because Central East, obviously, is playing football for us tonight on our airwaves. And so got a chance to talk with a couple of their big stars, EJ Morgan, Brandon Smith, who joined me a couple weeks ago, but we haven't had a chance to re-air this interview, and I wanted to do it right here, right now, because I think it's a good one, good insight into what Central East is going to be looking forward to this season. So without further ado, for my fashion furniture location, here is Central East football from a couple weeks ago.
From Central East Bengals, how weird is that to say? With EJ Morgan, Brandon Smith. We're going to get used to it, though, because I think we're going to be hearing a lot of touchdown calls between these two from the Bengals. Guys, appreciate you coming on and chatting with me before the season. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, taking every day one step at a time.
I bet.
Yes, I'm doing pretty good as well. How about yourself?
Fantastic, and I am excited I'm excited for the football season, just to watch for me, but I got to imagine the excitement level for you guys. You guys are in the thick of the ramp up, the fall ramp up. What's the excitement level like right now? Maybe not in the moment when you're in the hot, hot summer days yeah. of practicing, but where's the excitement level for you guys getting back to it?
I mean, the excitement level is extremely high. You know, last year we won Valley Championship, and then we were fortunate to go to state championship. Didn't end in our favor, but at the end of the day, we did go to state championship. We know what that feeling is like, and, you know, we're just trying to get back there. You know, that's our main goal right now, just get back to where we were.
Yeah. Brandon, what about for you? You know, where's the excitement level?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this upcoming season. We open up the season with two top 25 teams in California, so we pretty much have a very hard schedule to start out with, but I believe in my guys and believe that we're going to get the job done. And then later on, we open up with another top 25 team in Clovis East, so I'm pretty mm-hmm. excited to play them as well. Redemption game for them as we beat them in section championship, but hopefully we can get back to state, which is the main goal.
Oh, absolutely. And let's reflect a little bit, right? Because last season was as great of a season for you guys as it could be, you know. It's fascinating where the teams respond, right, to adversity. And you guys had some adversity right in the middle of that season last year, the back-to-back with Clovis North and Clovis East. But the response after that, and then to make the run to get to a state title game, tell me about the resolve last year and what got you guys to that level to face what was big, bad Clovis East and everyone was talking about him and to be able to do what you did in that section championship game.
I feel like the main thing that got us through that section championship was losing to them and North back-to-back in our first league games. You know, we did lose to North the following year in the section championship, so, you know, that did leave a very bad taste in our mouth. So, first starting off, just – getting back to play Clovis North and succeeding over that and then playing Clovis East, we already knew our coaches had a very good game plan. They had a very good scheme going. And if everything went how it's supposed to, we knew that we were going to win.
What about for you, Brandon? What do you pinpoint from that time a year ago and understanding what that was building to obviously this offseason?
Really just believing in the coaches' schemes that they built for us and really just believing in one another after the two losses. Of course, a team's going to be down, but we really started picking it up, just believing in one another that everyone's going to do their job and make plays all around. And it's pretty hard to beat a good team twice, so we knew that going in that we had a pretty good chance of winning. And like I said, just believing in one another, and we knew we were going to win.
I think what people talk about most with that team last year, obviously there's so much to the experience you get, right? Because while Clovis East had all those guys, those seniors, it felt like that was their kind of go around as far as the team is concerned. You know, you guys stepped up in a situation where I think a lot of people are like, well, they had a few more years to get ready for this moment. And yet you guys arrived at that moment for you guys as a younger crew. And now you come in with this experience. Tell me what lift that provides, especially knowing from last year, you guys stepped up in a moment where people are saying, well, you guys got a couple more years to figure it out, right? So tell me a little bit about stepping up in that moment and what that does. Now that you guys are kind of now at the forefront and everyone's looking at you yeah. to beat you guys.
I mean, stepping up in that moment, it means a lot. You know, we do have a good group of guys, a good young group of guys that really, I feel like we really mesh together. I feel like that's what sets our group apart from other groups, that, like, we really mesh with each other. We understand each other. We can talk to each other, be cool, you know, have fun, but at the end of the day we can still come together and get the job done. So, you know, stepping up in those moments against Clovis East, it really means a lot, and it shows the faith and trust we have in one another.
What about for you, Brandon? Same question to you.
Pretty much just a piggyback off EJ. I mean, our group of guys that we had last year, we meshed well, very good together. And like I said earlier, just believing in one another that we're gonna get the job done. And you know, throughout the whole season all we heard about was Clovis East that and all the transfers that they got in. But pretty much we kind of use that as motivation for us to beat them. And I pretty much got the job done.
Be honest with me. Did that make you angry a little bit, how much people were talking about
them? I mean, of course it did. Not hearing nothing about us. And even though we made it to the second championship the year before that, and then coming into the next year, not hearing nothing about us, of course, it's going to build up some anger. But all we had to do is use that as motivation.
EJ, was that fuel for sure?
Oh, yeah, very much. You know, we did have a couple of guys leave our program and go to their program, and, you know, that did add to it. And then us being ranked to go last in the track, that for sure added some fuel to that. But, yeah, it's like when we got out there and played, then we had a different fire, a different resolve to try to beat them.
So, of course, you have the season you had last year. You get to a state title game. You get a big battle with Edison. I know that Edison team, really good team. We saw them last year. So you're coming off of that, and you're going into this year. And obviously the cosmetic side of your program right now with the whole rebrand and everything like that, how much of a story is this offseason? I'm still trying to make my way sideways about calling you guys the Bengals, calling you Central East Bengals. I'm still trying to make sense of it. But, you know, what do you make of the new rebrand? And has the team – I'm sure the team's gotten over it. Now you're ready, guys, to be, you know, get your stripes, per se.
Yeah, at the beginning, it was very weird, very different. You know, they did want to call us the Kodiaks at one point in time. But we weren't
that
going for that.
Well.
Yeah.
No
so way. We had to settle with the Bengals. You know, we do love the Grizzlies. We do love everything about that, about the culture. But now we're looking to start something new with the Bengals. I would say I like it. You know,
yeah.
I do love the Grizzlies, but the Bengals, it's kind of nice too. You know, we got new helmets, you know.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like modeling after the Cincinnati Bengals look. But
not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I can get down with it.
Especially for yours. You, you get away with the Bengals stripes.
Yes,
the Bengals are the hottest wide receiver crew you can get out there.
Yes, sir.
As far as that's concerned. But, and the same, you know, with the Bengal rebrand, everything like that, you know. First of all, I got to imagine you guys are a little more hyped than Kodiaks. It sounds you're telling me that. But what was it like when you saw the new uniform, saw the new setup? And I got to imagine it took just a short amount of time to get over it.
Oh, yeah, it definitely took some time to get over it. I mean, of course, we're a little down about the name change. Of course, everyone loves the Grizzlies. But, I mean, we have a new identity and a new name, which is Bengals. So we're pretty excited, especially with the helmets. You know, we have black and white helmets this year. We're pretty much excited about the white helmets with the black stripes, just like the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. The uniforms, I mean, we're not too mad about it. But it's what we could work with, and they're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Let me tell you, I saw this photo shoot you guys took. Was there a real tiger there?
No way.
You guys didn't talk to the Fresno Zoo or anything like
nah.
that?
No, I would have been scared. Nah.
No, it looked cool though. It looked cool set up. How much has Biggs embraced this like Bengal mentality? Is he already hearing some stuff from him about the way you guys attack and the way you guys adopt like a Bengal attitude? What is he bringing up now? That I know he's been Grizzlies through and through, but he's had to adjust as much as anybody. So what have you been hearing from Biggs on the new transition?
I mean, you know, at the beginning it was a little difficult. You know, like when we get our breaks, we say Grizzlies at the end, go Grizzlies. But now we have to switch, so you'll get a couple guys still saying Grizzlies every now and then, and everybody else saying Bengals. But I feel like Biggs has taken it very well. You know, he has been a Grizzly his whole time at Central.
Yeah.
But now just adapting this new Bengals mentality, I feel like he's doing a really good job at it, really good job instilling these new Bengals rules into us. And I feel like Biggs really likes it.
What are the Bengals rules? If you don't mind revealing, Brandon. Or EJ. Either of you guys. What's one of the Bengal rules, if you got one to give me?
Pretty much just play around. I mean, not play around. Excuse me.
Hope Biggs isn't listening.
fly around and play hard and pretty much just hustle each and every down of the play. Even in practice, just work hard in the weight room and pretty much embrace the Bengal culture that we're building up. Like I said earlier, a new identity.
For sure. I think there's a legitimate excitement just on, like, what we can see from what you guys are going to do in terms of talent, right? We saw what you're capable of, and what's exciting about you guys, you know, you're just getting bigger, you're just getting older, right? Senior season. Mm-hmm. There's a little more just a little more heft to it, right? And, of course, you guys have committed to two different places, right? And so you don't have that hard decision to make this time of year. You can kind of play freely in that sense and make sure you guys are set up that way. So I'll start with Brandon this time, and we'll go to EJ. What does a senior season feel like? What does that prep feel like right now for you, getting ready for a one last hurrah, per se, before you go to Arizona?
I mean, it feels very weird knowing that this is my last high school season ever, but I'm pretty much just focused on getting back to the section championship and winning again and then get back to state and ultimately just winning, which is the biggest goal that we have. I mean, of course, we want to win track, go 5-0 in preseason, but, I mean, ultimately the goal is just to win state and make sure we go back to that.
EJ, what about for you? Reflective a little bit? How do you handle coming in to a senior year? You're committed to Cal, so take me through what that prep is like for you and how you've kind of reflected on getting ready for a senior year.
I mean, just to pick off of what Brandon said, it does feel a little weird, but, you know, this is the last hoorah. This is the last go. So you got to put everything into it. For us, I feel like the biggest thing that we have to focus on is paying attention to the little details, doing the little things right. You know, our coach has been saying that since day one of our freshman year.
Day one.
Just do the little things right. Do the little thing right. And everything will pay off in the bigger picture. So, yeah.
Of course, we'd love to have a lot of the teammates here and talk about him, but you guys are the conduits of give me something we don't know about some of your teammates, and I'll give a couple names here. And we start with Jelani Dipple, right, because I'm really impressed with what he did in that Central Section Championship. So what is something people don't know about him going into his junior season?
I feel like one thing about Jelani that stands out to me is just his resolve. You know, Jelani, he's far from the biggest person on the field. But, you know, Jelani isn't scared to go heads up with the biggest linebacker, the biggest DN from the opposing team. I feel like Jelani's, like, best defining moment was, honestly, our state playoff game against St. Ignatius, where he took a couple hits from their biggest D lineman.
Yeah.
But he got up each and every time and just continued to play ball.
Jelani, you know, the way he kind of just goes about his business, is he a talker at practice? I feel like some quarterbacks can be talkers sometimes when things are going well. Does he talk? Or,
I mean, there's times where he is a little talkative, but mainly he's pretty much quiet into himself.
Okay, gotcha. He lets the play stand up.
Oh, yeah, very much.
You talked about, you know, sometimes there's the biggest – he's not the biggest guy, but there is a guy who I think he may be the biggest guy, Bayon Harris, too, sometimes with his stature. EJ, what's it like lining up with Bayon and what he kind of can kind of do? And it amazes me. He's just only a junior, what he looks like.
I mean, lining up with Bayon, it's amazing. You know, Bayon is a freak of nature. You know, my dad often calls him Megatron just because of his size and the way he attacks the ball in the air. It's just – it's amazing, you know. I feel like Bayon is a really good threat. You know, he's something good to have on the team. You know, it takes eyes off of me sometimes, so I don't get double teamed. He's getting double teamed.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Bayon is a really good guy. You know, very good to be around. I feel like he's another one of those guys that just we mesh really well together. You know, I feel like our whole receiving core is just like we're just cool. We can hang out during football, after football, and we're all cool together. So I feel like that's what makes us a really good receiving core.
You got to meld together as a receiver. Even though you guys have your individual things and your individual routes, do you feel like you're constantly like, I'm working on this move, I'm doing this kind of thing. Here, let me show you something I've been doing with my footwork kind of thing. How much is that in the wide receiver core?
I feel like our wide receiver core, we hold each other accountable a lot. You know, Bayon, you know, I've been around Bayon since I was little. Zeb, why I've grown up with Zeb, he was my little league quarterback. So, you know, I feel like we can – talk to each other that really like uplifts each other. You know, we do work in the off season together, so I feel like if one person has one little thing they're working on, we try to adapt that to everybody so that everybody learns instead of just one person.
Brandt, what's a Central East Bengal people may not know quite about that people are going to know about this season, or somebody who they should know about that's been shining so far in fall camp for you?
The standout that I have is Juan Ochoa. I mean, of course, he started for us last year as a middle backer, but he kind of got overshadowed by Aiden Chavez. I mean, it's pretty hard not to get overshadowed by Chavez. But, I mean, Juan's pretty much been showing up every day. He's pretty much the hardest worker on our team, that I would say. I mean, he comes in every day just working hard and making plays around, and he picks up things very well, and he pretty much has been showing out.
Yeah, he certainly I see some of his stats, you know, especially what he did. Big contributor in that playoff game, especially against Central East. I'm looking at Clovis East as far as that's concerned. So he's been a big contributor. Like I said, so many returning guys, so many big contributors to this team that are coming back for this year. Now we're going to do we're going to put you guys on the spot because we're going to do complimentary time to each other because we're just going to do that. So EJ, what stands out about Brandon and his ability at the running back position, what he does for you guys?
I feel like Brandon's work ethic is his best attribute. You know, whether it's raining, whether it's cold, whether it's the 105 degrees, Brandon's going to go out there and get some work done. I feel like for us, he just contributes all over the ball. You know, he is primarily a running back, but he is a really good safety and outside backer. And
yeah.
I feel like him being on both sides of the ball really contributes very well. And, you know, I'm happy to have that on the team. He often wants to be a kick returner, but I feel like if he did that, he would still be very good at it. But, yeah, I feel like wherever Brandon is, he's going to contribute to the team very well as a leader and as a football player.
Great. Is Biggs ever going to get you a kick return?
I hope so. We've been talking about it, but I doubt it.
Maybe like last kickoff of the year, like when he feels like it's like towards the tail end. Maybe one
yeah,
time.
Hopefully.
Maybe one time. Yeah. Brandon, what stands out about EJ and the way he goes about his business?
Things that stand out about EJ is just the way he carries himself. He doesn't really showboat about his offers and how he's dealing. He pretty much just comes in every day, pretty much just works as he has zero offers and zero stars and pretty much like that. And that's the biggest thing that we need in our team, is that we don't need a bunch of people that like to show out. We just need everyone that likes to come together and work hard as one team. But pretty much on the field, I mean, he's a great contributor for us. His speed, he just outruns everyone. And then, of course, the touchdowns. I mean, that's the amazing part about it. One of the amazing parts about his speed. I mean, his hands are very good. And he gets past the linebackers. Once you get past the second level, I mean, he's gone. No one's going to catch him.
What's film study like when you're watching some EJ Morgan touchdown catches? What's that like?
I mean, it's amazing. Once he gets the ball, he's just gone. You throw him on a bubble screen. I mean, he's going to take it to the crib. If you throw him on a fade, I mean – he's pretty much just by himself wide open. So all he has to do is pretty much just jog into the end zone. He's done.
And they're shooting and hollering on a Monday afternoon, right?
Definitely. Celebrations.
For sure. You guys got Englewood to start. That's no easy task. But they're here in your building. And that's exciting, right, to bring talent like that up here to the Central Valley and let them know what the Central Section's all about. So how important is a statement game like this for you guys? I know it's not in the grand scheme of the track, and I'm sure it'll do stuff for the rankings and everything, but how exciting is this opportunity to have Englewood come into town and face you guys at the top of the season?
I mean, it's very exciting. You know, when you go to SoCal, you pretty much just hear about SoCal teams and NorCal teams facing off each other, but you never hear about the Central Valley teams. So, you know, I feel like us playing them is really just like a statement game, really putting our name on the map, really getting out there and showing that we can compete with any team in California.
Brandon, what about you? That opportunity, right, to just kind of say, hey, Central Section, we're here. We got some teams too.
Oh, yeah, it's a big opportunity. I mean, they have some guys that has a lot of offers, D1 recruits, but so do we. So I'm pretty excited just to see how we match up with them and how we'll be able to show as our first game. I mean, of course, we have some new faces on our team that's really going to have to step up. I mean, we don't have a lot of guys, just like every year we don't. But, I mean, some guys are really going to have to step up. So it's going to show how much different we are than last year.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see you guys. And obviously, I'm revealing it now. We are going to be calling that game on 1430 ESPN in Fresno on the 22nd. So we will have you guys on the primetime broadcast for that, Central East versus Englewood, 7:30, maybe 7 o'clock. I got to check that time there. 7 o'clock. So, yeah, we don't have to wait as long as I thought. 7 o'clock on that Friday night, we'll be there, myself and Paul Matters. Last couple questions for you guys. You know, you're excited about the season, this opportunity. You guys both have hard commitments to where you're going. I'm just curious, you know, just what excites you about understanding and knowing and feeling the relief sometimes maybe of having that settled and knowing that you feel like you're in a good spot knowing where you're going. I'll start with Brandon going to Arizona. What feels great about that as far as having that settled in?
What feels great is pretty much just getting the pressure off my back from trying to pick the correct spot. I mean, it's pretty much a huge decision knowing that you're going to go to the school for the next 3 to 4 years, sometimes 5 years. But, I mean, just having trust in my supporting staff that I have around me and just the college coaches, I mean, that's pretty much the biggest thing why I chose Arizona. And just the way the coaches are very genuine. And they brought in a new offensive coordinator. I mean, I love him. He gets his athletes in space. So that's pretty much what I love about it.
And then, EJ, same for you. Cal, settled in with the Bears there. What about that opportunity excites you? And, of course, that relief that you don't have to really think about that tough decision here in the fall.
Yeah, you know, it feels amazing. I feel like one thing people don't tell you about recruitment is how stressful it is and how draining it can be. So, you know, just getting that weight just lifted off my shoulders lets me actually be able to focus on football, focus on my craft, and be able to play, you know. I really like all the coaches there. They did hire a completely new offensive staff from the OC to the running backs coach. And, you know, I feel like I really like every coach there. Like, I know the OC, I mesh with him really well. Same with the wide receiver coach, the head coach, and assistant coach. I feel like everybody there are just a great group of guys, and I feel like I could really succeed there.
I grew up rooting for Cal when I was in the Bay Area. Yeah. I just think of my days watching DeSean Jackson do his thing. I'm wondering if you can beat his speed records out there as far as that's concerned. So that'll be a high bar to pass there. But you guys got the talent. You guys are a great team. I'm looking forward to seeing this year. Certainly a track contender this year, and we will be calling some games for you guys this season, starting with the game against the Englewood on the 22nd of August. It is right around the corner, guys. Can't wait. I appreciate you guys taking the time and coming on down here and talking some Central East Bengal football. Yeah. And it's coming, and it's here. And we can't wait to see what the Stripes look like in action in a couple weeks. So, guys, appreciate it as always, and stay cool out there, and best of luck the rest of the offseason.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for having us.
All right. EJ Morgan, Brandon Smith here on 1430 ESPN. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. So cool to revisit that interview and get good perspective on where the Central East Bengals are going into this game and going into this season. So I can't wait for that. Can't wait for all of it to get into that as far as that's concerned. And we are excited to bring you the broadcast coming up tomorrow. Or excuse me, tonight. I'm getting distracted. Jorge's doing some stuff here in the studio. So, but anyways, we're live streaming. We are live streaming. We got a lot of things going on here at the station. Just another quick reminder of the schedule here moving forward for this weekend. We got Englewood versus Central East. That is going to be tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff there. So we'll be rolling there. Because of that, we are not airing Giants baseball tonight. Giants and Brewers. But we will have Giants and Brewers the rest of the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, if you want to hear that. I hear it's Bob Uecker weekend. They're celebrating the legacy of Bob Uecker for this series, so maybe some cool Bob Uecker stories and anything like that coming from these broadcasts from the Giants' perspective. I'm sure everybody's got a lot of stories about that. We have, of course, Palmetto's show, Central Valley Sports Report, which will be Saturday, 10 a.m. to noon, that'll be going on at First Ring Sports, so that'll be there tomorrow. You can stream it live or listen to it live on 1430 ESPN Fresno and 1430 ESPN Fresno app as well. A's are in Seattle for a three-game set with the Mariners before they head back home to host the Tigers in the weekday set as well. So there you go. Another reminder, we got a grocery outlet contest going on. You get yourself tailgate ready with the local grocery outlets that are participating in our contest here. Two Fresno State tickets up for grabs plus a $100 gift certificate to Grocery Outlet for our Northwest, Downtown, Southeast Fresno locations, as well as the Grocery Outlet locations in Kerman and Sanger. So those are the participating locations. If you want to sign up for the contest, go visit them and get a chance to check out their offerings there at the store. Another reminder as well, Student Athlete of the Week getting going next week. So I'm calling out all the folks who are going to Fresno football games in the Fresno Central Valley area. If you see a performance tonight that you feel is noteworthy and exciting to talk about, we want to hear from you. Be sure to nominate some athletes this week from the football side of things. We want to select some Student Athlete of the Week nominees here, and we'll be doing that soon next week. We're going to have our first Student Athlete of the Week on our show next Thursday, so be sure to get your student nominated. It's been a great program. We're excited to bring it back for this year. All Student Athlete of the Week winners will become a Student Athlete of the Year nominee. We have a whole banquet at the end of the year. We had a great turnout last year for that banquet. Fantastic athletes in the area. Plus, a Student Athlete of the Year winner will receive $1,500 in scholarship money, plus an iPad. That's a pretty sweet deal for those kids going to college. So get yourself and get your athlete nominated. You go to our website, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You should be able to find it there with our Student Athlete of the Week program. All right. Got a good rest of the show here. We're coming up on the end of hour number one. Hour number two is going to be jam-packed of some stuff here as well. It is the man, the myth, the legend, who will be joining me here in this next hour. Paul Metters, who is going to be my partner in crime tonight as we try to survive the hot box that is going to be Collegiate Stadium tonight. 108, I believe we are on the temperature spectrum now. We have hit our high, so hopefully everybody is hydrated and ready to go, and hopefully we can provide some nice, good action there for you while you are sweating it out today here in the Central Valley. He'll join me next. We'll also have my Benatti's Best, continuing my overall power rankings of the National Football League teams. We're hitting the halfway point. I think we are now into the upper half of teams in the National Football League. So we'll have that, and then we'll obviously continue that next week before the start of the season. I'll give out the schedule. We'll do a What Are We Watching next week as well, or this weekend as well. I got a feeling I know what everybody's answer will be. All right, we're taking a break, and when we come back, Paul Metters joins me in studio, chatting high school football, previewing the tonight's action, all that great stuff next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here live on a Friday, final hour of our show for the week. That's right. We're out of here after 5 o'clock, but we're not done for us on the airwaves. We got Friday Night Lights returning tonight at 6:30. Man, the countdown is real. It is here. We're very excited. And I'm very excited to be joined. And I would say I think we're going to do this on the weekly here, as we did kind of last year. Paul Metters here on the floor clock hour, getting ready for this game. I'm very excited to be calling the game with him tonight. And he is here live in studio with me on this 4 o'clock hour. Paul, it's Christmas morning, or it's Christmas afternoon now. It feels like, if you're a high school football fan, it's here. Week one. We already had games played last night. Can you believe it?
That's right. Yeah, it's a few Thursday games, but it is here. And Phil, I posted a couple polls on the Twitter sphere over the last couple days. And obviously you mentioned, you know, the Fresno State football game tomorrow as well, the full slate of high school football games. So I put out, you know, what's your excitement for both? Where are you at? 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10, and 7 out of 10. And we got 73% are a 10 out of 10.
Wow.
For their excitement as far as football goes this weekend. And you did a great job with the interview with the two Central superstar football players. Are going to be finally, right? After all these months of not having high school football, get to see them take the football field again tonight. So really excited about that. And the next, what'd you count, 14, 15 weeks? Maybe we'll be able to do a state playoff game this year. But at least, what, 3 playoff games as well, a couple of championships. So it's going to be a fun-filled fall.
We will be coming off of a full Thanksgiving dinner or something like that when we end this thing, which is just feels like it's so far away. And yet we are, you know, this thing will move so fast, it feels like, Paul, every week we go along the side of the season. I know you're thrilled about it. I know you're looking forward to it. And I don't know if you've got – maybe I mentioned this a couple weeks ago with you, but in terms of the overarching headline and everything like that, as you enter another year of covering this thing, I got to imagine, is there anything that changes as the time goes along for you, or does it just feel like just kind of the same vibe every year when you come into this thing, and it's just like a clean palette of everything here. It's a blank canvas of what this season could kind of look like.
The way I framed it on my show a few times, Phil, is, you know, I'm in education, so we all have these internal clocks, right? Mm-hmm. And when, you know, when summer hits, you relax a little bit and, you know, take in the summer vibes. But, you know, you just start to feel, you know, once you're approaching the end, you know, the middle of August, I guess, and you're like, all right, the seasons are changing. Football is, you know, is in the air. Talk about, you know, NFL, college and high school. And it just feels right.
Yeah.
Right. It never gets old, Phil. The storylines change, you know, some coaches change and you get to talk about new players. Cause it's basically, you know, if players are playing varsity as sophomores, you get to follow them, their career for 3 years. If they're freshmen, 4 years, you hear about, you know, players when they're in eighth grade, sometimes you get to follow their career. And that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for you, you know, for you as well. And, you know, a guy like me that you can follow kids and talk about them and hype them up and get to know them and their families and the coaches. And then, you know, and then see them later, maybe in college sports as well, and a few in the pros as well. But there's a lot of special aspects of high school football. I know where we can be a bit romantic and deservedly so, because yeah, it's a special time for a lot of kids, but you know, there's nothing like high school sports.
I want to go specifically to what this class of 2026, which is playing this 2025 season, this senior laden class, some D1 talent in this one across the Central Valley. I know you have some names that you've watched for a while now, but now gets to this level. Some people want to compare classes versus others, but for you, what stands out about this class of 2026 senior athletes that obviously we're going to get a chance to watch potentially for the last time here in the Central Valley?
Well, the guys that are going D1, the high level recruits, those guys are, you know, the elite of the Central Valley. You mentioned Brandon Smith that you got to talk to. He's a kid that I've watched for the last couple of years on varsity. He's going to do great things at Arizona. And, you know, Deegan Rose, the quarterback at Clovis High, his first game, you know, starting as a freshman, he got thrown into the fire. So fun to watch his progression. He's primed for a big senior year headed to Oregon State. You know, there's just special kids. You know, again, you hear about them, you get to know them, you talk to them, you watch them mature, right? Sometimes you talk to a high school kid and they're shy, they don't know quite what to say. And all of a sudden they're seniors and like, man, this dude's ready for college. They're mature. They've, you know, matured physically and, you know, emotionally as well. So that's just a great thing. But yeah, those two guys stand out for this year. And there, you know, there's plenty of players I could talk about, you know, that I've had the pleasure of coming in. Adrian Martinez, who might make the Jets roster this year. Kendall Milton is fighting for a spot for the Bengals. Of course, Josh Allen, you know, the big time guy as well. Jordan Love, who played at Liberty Bakersfield, mm-hmm. got the big contract as well for the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, there's always a nice crop of players that you love to follow. And then, you know, if they could go play at the next level, I mean, that's just so special to watch.
Can't wait. Can't wait. And maybe some guys rise pretty quickly up some expectations as well. Sometimes those late blooming senior guys can make a name for themselves in a season like this as well.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, sophomores and juniors, right?
That
are getting D1 offers that we're going to have, you know, we're going to be able to broadcast and watch them live. You think about the quarterback at Clovis West. I mean, he's going to have pretty much everybody offering him by the time he's a senior.
Yeah, it feels like the underclass side is pretty strong in this season as well, and the contributions we're going to find across the level is going to be interesting to watch. Do we want to go specifically to our game first, and then we can kind of bounce around the central section? And I think that might be the way to go about it. Inglewood versus Central East. You know, this is interesting. I've been reading up more about what Inglewood has coming into this season. They did come off of a loss last week. They played in, I guess some people consider week zero.
This
is week one for the high school season. A lot of guys who have graduated from this roster, a lot of change, same coach in place. I've been reading up a little bit about them. What's your intel telling you about Inglewood from what you've been researching on?
Well, first of all, that name, right, kind of stands out. You think of the powers in SoCal for the different sports. They're ranked 39th by Cal High Sports. I thought they're going to be ranked in the top 25, and Cal High Sports came out of their preseason rankings. Central's ranked 18th. So doing some research about Inglewood, you're right. So they graduated a lot of players from last year. They went 10-0 in the regular season last year. Yeah. Played Santa Margarita in their first round of the state playoffs. Unfortunately, lost to them. But they didn't have, in that 10-0 season, they didn't have a lot of close games. I think the closest spread might have been 7 points.
Yeah.
Looking at their scores from last year. And then so a new crop of kids have come up and had to step up for Inglewood. They got a sophomore quarterback that's starting, their receiver that had two touchdowns for 100 and 112 yards, only three catches. He's a junior. So experience-wise, it's kind of the opposite of when we get to Central, talking about Central. So I also counted six 300-pound players on the roster.
Oh boy.
So there's some girth as well on the Inglewood side. But I think experience, definite advantage Central. A lot of new guys for Inglewood.
Yeah, and people have heard about this story with Central and what they did and what they ran through, especially with how young the roster was last year and now what they're capable of potentially moving forward. It's like one of those things like, wow, we could be seeing this group, you know, do some great things for a while now. Central now with the target on their back, and I think that's going to be interesting of the psychology of this team and knowing that they're not sneaking up on anybody this year. And I wonder if this is going to let them thrive, or wonder if that kind of feeling as a player can be a little bit different going into a season like this.
Right? It's like, do you like being hunted or do you like to hunt?
Yeah.
That's kind of the question for Central this year, because everybody's going to be hunting them. I remember one of the things last year, the talk was, you know, if you don't beat Central now, you're not going to beat them the next couple of years. And Central got the best of Clovis North and Clovis East when it mattered most. I think that really motivated them, those two losses before they won the Central section title. So I think Coach Biggs, you know, he's gunning for his fifth Central section title with the Central program, Central East Bengals, right? We know the history of that. We don't have to get into that anymore. It all counts. I think he actually, Phil, that he uses both sides equally, right? He's like, nobody respects us. Nobody's talking about us. I don't know. You could use that as a motivation.
Yeah.
And now he could flip and say, everybody thinks they could beat the Grizzlies. They got to come to our house and all that stuff. I think he is equally good at both.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a team like Central that's used to winning and, you know, they have a goal of getting to the state championship, they're going to come in with some swagger. They're going to be like, all right, we are the top dogs and we're going to play like top dogs. We're opposed to last year, maybe even the year before, like, hey, we feel like we're hunting, you know, the number two and number one team. So that was a motivation for them. So I think they're going to be, you know, I think they're going to show that they're going to be able to be motivated in both ways.
And I'm, you know, I've been reading about this team a lot and where the ceiling could be. I mean, we saw them get to a state championship game. That wasn't at the highest level, right? It was a division.
So it wasn't the open. But
we could, like, is this an open potential playoff team, like on the low end of that bracket there, if they have things break their way? Or
yeah, I think, well, so you got St. John Bosco and you have Modern Day, right? They're going to be the top dogs. So remember, it's just the two. It's the NorCal and SoCal. That's where, you know, there's no Central Section Division or there's no Sac Joaquin Division for the playoffs. So it's NorCal or SoCal. You know, NorCal has two really good teams this year. So you got Folsom and you got De La Salle.
Yeah.
And everyone's predicting that they're going to be the matchup in NorCal, which is totally fine. I think Central's fine with that. So, you know, state playoffs, you know, are a different animal, but they're definitely a goal for the Central East Bengals this year. So I don't think the open division is kind of in the vernacular.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm always curious. I'm always interested in what it could be and where the ceiling could be. And I think the Central section definitely wants to have that conversation. You know, we heard at the meeting that Central section is the third biggest section in California now. And it's just continuing to grow in terms of that. And when it grows in just the sheer popularity or the population of the students, sure enough, odds will say you're going to have great athletes coming out of that crop as well. And so I wonder if there's a narrative with the Central section that could change a little bit in terms of how we feel we fit in between the North and the South and all of that stuff. And I don't want to put too much pressure on a game like this tonight, but it feels like Central East if they really show out tonight, could say, hey, like we can be in any division in this state if we play the right way.
Well, Central's favored in this game, right? Again, Central ranked 18th by Cal High Sports. It doesn't matter. It's just the it's just the media people voting on this. Inglewood at 39.
Yeah.
I think it's on paper. If you look at it, it should be a win for Central. Maybe even a couple touchdown win. I know it's going to be a tough game, but I think there's some eyes on this game, as there's going to be some eyes on next week's game when Central travels up north to face Grant, who's ranked 13th in the state. So the answer to that question, Phil, if Central wins this game and then wins next week, I mean, they're going to be probably a top 10, top 12 team in the state overall. Again, the state playoffs and all that stuff, it doesn't matter for Cal High Sports. It's a different entity. Yeah. But we're obviously, talking ahead here. But I think if Central goes 2-0 in these first two games, they're going to be sitting really, really pretty.
Kind of like the path Clovis East faced a little bit when they beat that really top Utah team.
Yeah.
And then they beat Grant by a couple touchdowns in their building, and just having those just boat races week in and week out in terms of that. We'll see.
Well, it gets people talking about the Grizzlies again. Oh, my gosh. I did it.
The Bengals.
All right, give me the Bengals. I got to pitch a quarter there. Yeah, the Bengals.
He's going to have – we might have to do a tally tonight to see how – although this – I said this. I'm like, I think the stripes will be enough to remind me that they're not the Grizzlies.
Well, the other thing too, Phil, is the scoreboard, because I went to their scrimmage last week against Bullard.
Yeah.
It's kept the Central logo, with that paw coming around the side there. It's kept that.
Yeah.
So that might throw us off too, right? You're going to look up there and you're going to say, the Central Grizzlies. But again – right, it's the Bengals. We know it's the Bengals, so it might take us. We should set the over under at what 3.5.
3.5.
So whoever says it the third time, the fourth time is the over is going
to
hit.
Well, hopefully we'll have our stats guy. Then our stats guy can keep that stat as well. I can't wait to see what the post game tally will be. Let's hit some quick hits, week ones, other games around the Central section. I want to start with Bullard Clovis East. I think this is an interesting one. I talked to Bullard yesterday. They're really fired up about how tough their schedule can be this year. They also have Clovis on the schedule, which they want to obviously look for some revenge in that one. Bakersfield High on their schedule. If they want to have a legitimate chance to be in some really good playoff positioning, beating Clovis East tonight on the road in La Monica, that's certainly a statement there. I'm curious how, and obviously on the flip side, Clovis East got a couple of good stars there. Still left from that roster from a year ago. I'm not counting out the Timberwolves in any sense because of the turnover, but I think this is going to be an intriguing game.
I don't have a great pulse on the game as far as who's favored. I think I would be surprised by a blowout by either team. The narrative with Clovis East is they graduated a lot of players, new coaching staff. A lot of the defensive players for Clovis East are returning. I think their front seven and their defensive backs are going to be the strong point of the Clovis East Timberwolves football team this year. Bullard, they looked a lot tougher than last year in that scrimmage against Central East. Their quarterback, Tyler Franklin, coach's son, does a good job. But it's going to be a tough defense. So I think that's going to say a lot about both teams that first game. I actually expect a low-scoring game.
Okay.
I could see it being like a 21-14 type game, maybe even like a 14-7. But, that a lot of eyes on that football game.
I know they're fired up that yesterday they moved their JV game to yesterday and they went and watched it. So I'm sure they got them all fired up for that one. I'm trying to think of some other ones that are going to be
well,
out there.
Well, Clovis CVC.
Yeah. Clovis CVC, that's a big one. They moved that back,
they
by
did.
The way, 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Another reminder, Clovis East and Bullard. I know it's listed at 7 p.m. at Max Preps. 7:30 tonight. It got moved back by 30 minutes. I wanted to just get a quick PSA there. But yes, Clovis CVC. A win by either of these teams could mean a lot for everything moving forward in the Central section.
Well, with all the talk about Clovis High this year, man, can you imagine a loss at CVC to open up the season, right? A lot of talk about their transfer, their four-star guy, Israel Briggs. Going to get to see them next week. CVC, coached by Don Arax, they're really tough this year. Going to have a tough ground game. So they're going to try to – if I was CVC, I would – I would just slow down the football game. I would run the heck of the football. You know, a seven, 8 minute possession would be absolutely golden for the Cavaliers. You know, you don't want to see Deegan Rose on the field. But, right? Can you imagine if CBC wins that football game?
A lot of people will be like, okay, all right, interesting. And I could realistically see it. I could really see it. How about another one I want to throw at you? Hanford hosting Kennedy. I know you've talked a lot about Kennedy this year. Hanford's in a little bit of a interesting roster spot as well. They get to host them at home. How about this one?
So remember, Hanford went 10-0 last year, lost to Clovis in the playoff game. So that was like, I don't know, I'm not going to say once in a decade team, because, you know, they got a state championship. But Hanford had a really talented football team last year. They lost a lot. Talked to Coach Cannon Sanchez last week. And so, you know, they got a new quarterback, Jaron Mao, if that name sounds familiar. He started off at Bullard and then went to Clovis West last year and now is at Hanford. A lot of guys are going to have to step up, but Patterson is a dude for Hanford. But Kennedy, kind of much like Central Valley Christian, they're a run first team. They're going to try, Hanford with the up tempo offense. So talk about polar opposite type philosophies. That game is going to show it all. So, you know, I don't have a good, you know, a good indication how that game is going to go either. Hanford has those four home games, right? Four home games in non-league. So Hanford should win that football game, but man, Kennedy's got a really good senior running back.
How about another intriguing one? It's going to be down south today. Bakersfield High hosting Buchanan. I don't know. I want to jump around like this because sometimes we talk too much about the other top teams, but Buchanan Bears, they had a big win in week one last year and people kind of looked at them and then they kind of slipped a little bit as the season went along. Buchanan's got talent. I mean, they have an offensive lineman playing for Fresno State this year as a true freshman in Braden Walton. So Buchanan can supply that talent. I'm wondering what it looks like when they play Bakersfield tonight.
Yeah, Bakersfield, again, another running football team. They graduated a couple of their dudes last year. They had a 10-0 JV team, so those guys are going to have to step up. For Buchanan, their quarterback is really good. He's only a sophomore. Devaney played catcher last year on varsity baseball team. So he's a dude, right?
Yeah.
They got a really good defense. Do the Bears, a couple D1 guys as well, a cornerback headed to Oregon State. And then Don Moore is his name, Donovan.
Yeah.
And then they got a D1 safety as well. So, you know, those guys, right? Those guys are going to have to step up. It's, Bakersfield's not going to throw the football around a lot. So I think Bakersfield is favored in that game, but that would be a huge win for Buchanan.
All right. How about a lower division little gem? Like, give me one that you're like, this could be a good ball game to go to as far as one not people are talking about that much, but certainly what do you call, I'm trying to think of like a hidden gem game.
Yeah, tonight. Well, I mean, Tulare, a lot of talk about them. They're playing at St. Joseph, so they're going to the coast. St. Joseph, you know, they're one of the coastal schools. You know, here they're going to have a good team this year, and then they end up going 5-5. So, you know, Tulare's going to put up a lot of points. That's a game I'm interested in. Kingsburg travels to Paso Robles.
Yeah.
They're on the road right now, so that's going to be an interesting game as well. So, yeah, Selma, I think, was it?
Selma was somewhere.
I think you mentioned that.
At Cabrillo.
Yeah, okay, Selma's at Cabrillo.
They're actually kicking off in 20 minutes at Cabrillo.
Oh, they want to get back early.
Yeah, they do.
They want to get back early. So, yeah, like I say, most weeks about Friday Night Lights, you go to these rural towns and you look for the lights. If you're not sure where the stadium is, you look for the lights and you find all these people, support their town. That's one of the great things about the Central Section. So a lot of really good football games going around the section today.
Can I shout out one more?
Yeah, what do you got?
Corcoran at Roosevelt tonight.
Oh, ooh.
That's an intriguing one.
Yeah, Roosevelt. Yeah,
Roosevelt's up and coming.
Yeah.
They got a good thing going there.
McCoy is their coach.
Yeah, and Corcoran's always been kind of a feisty smaller town team.
Yeah.
So that's at 7:15 tonight, so a little shout-out there. All right, Paul, excited to have you on the broadcast tonight. Once again, 6:30. We are going to be sweating it out in more ways than one in that in that press box, but I can't wait.
All right, so
105 at kickoff, I saw.
I usually, you know, stop off and get, you know, a couple, you know, an iced tea or drinks, or, you know, when Coach Hill joins us, I get the bugles for him, right? He loves to munch on those things. You got a beverage of choice that I could pick up for you?
Oh, man.
You just want a big water? What do you want?
Water. I can't do anything sugar if I want to keep the pipes clear.
Okay.
In terms of that. So the water will work, yeah.
And blue shirts? We're going blue shirts?
I got blue shirt tonight. That's what I'm rocking with. So felt like I got the sweat through hat. I can probably manage it through. So, but anyways, awesome. 6:30. We'll lay it all out for you tonight between Central East. First time we're going to say that. And of many against Inglewood tonight. Paul, appreciate it. See you at Collegian.
Good stuff. Can't wait.
All right. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Best. Behind the Best? Behind the Bench. The best of Behind the Bench. No, I don't know. We're in that Friday loopy stage, folks. It's here. And by the way, I'm just getting ready for this broadcast here tonight. Ori, please forgive me. It's Behind the Bench. You know, but we're the best at it when it comes to that. Anyways, big thanks to Paul Metters for joining me in the last segment, and Paul will be joining me in exactly 2 hours from now, right here on 1430 for Central East in Inglewood. Getting going over at Collegian. Be sure to tune in. 7 p.m. kickoff. We'll have it all for you. All the previews, all the great stuff. Getting ready for another fantastic season of Friday Night Lights. Only on ESPN Fresno here in the Central Valley. Ready to do some power rankings here, Jorge?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's another day. We got to get through it. You know, the NFL power ranking side of things. And I know... people are just clamoring to hear everything that we want to talk about as far as everything with the NFL season. So why don't we get into it? And maybe should I do the music again? Should I do the NFL music this time for this segment?
I feel like it's you know, it's the type of music you should have.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Some more Bonatti's Best. Quick reminder, we're halfway through. We got another 16 teams to get to. This is my official, just before we get in our next four teams, the official bottom half of the league, according to my rankings. In order from 32 to 17. The Saints, the Browns, the Titans, the Colts, the Giants, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Panthers, the Jets, the Cardinals, the Dolphins, the Jaguars, the Bears, the Steelers, the Falcons, the Bengals. That is my bottom half of the NFL. All right, Jorge, how it works? You're going to tell me too high, too low, just right in terms of all of these teams. And we'll get to it. And we start with number 17. Number 16 on my list. And number 16, you've been waiting for him, Jorge. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I got them right here at 16 overall. I will say this. I do like what they've added to their offensive side of things. I know people are a little not bullish on this team in terms of the passing game. I think Dak Prescott gets a little bit too much rap against what he actually is capable of, which I think sometimes he can be a top 10, top 5 guy if he's absolutely on it. But when is that going to be possible is the question. Adding George Pickens, I am a believer. I have stock in George Pickens. I like what he's capable of. Him next to CeeDee Lamb. He didn't have that in Pittsburgh. What is he going to be able to do as a second fiddle in this Dallas offense? Feels like a lot. Feels like a lot of opportunity there. I do like the running back side of things. I think Javonte Williams has some upside after leaving Denver. Miles Sanders could be a nice change of pace in terms of that as well. So very curious to see what that offense will look like all in its entirety. Micah Parsons, I know, is wanting out. He will be playing for the Cowboys week one. There's no doubt about it. It'll happen. I'm just going to book it right now. He has no leverage in terms of his issues there. On the corner side of things, I expect a big, healthy season for Deron Bland on that side of things. He is a fantastic corner for this Cowboys team. Trayvon Diggs as well, a big opportunity here. Overall, this is a middle-of-the-road team. They could be a up-and-coming team as well. I have more faith in the Cowboys than I should, and that's why I have them at 16.
I feel like that's too high. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I feel like it just too much drama, too much things going on. Didn't add any real weapons, except for one weapon. But
George Pickens. Do you not believe in George Pickens?
I mean, is he top five in the league?
Why would he need to be top five in the league?
Do you want to go to the playoffs? Do you want to win games? I mean,
excuse me, CeeDee Lamb is there right next to him. I think that's a good 1-2 punch. One of the better. It's better than some teams I have above him. Actually, figuratively.
But that's the only thing they have.
Okay.
And then you got Michael Parsons getting mad at you because you don't want to pay him.
That's fine. I feel players, like players will be disgruntled, and they'll get over it when they realize they're missing game checks. I'm sorry.
Or they just won't play.
It's fine. I get it. I just say be warned, because the Cowboys do this. Every so often, there is a year, the Cowboys suddenly 12-5. And it's just like...
And they lose a playoff game.
And they lose the playoff. That's fine. I will accept. I am not predicting Super Bowl anything with the Cowboys. But we could get a year like this where it's just like, really? The Cowboys are doing this? And we're going to have it. And it's going to be front and center. And you're going to just get so annoyed. And Phil Stradamus is going to have it right again. Anyways. Let's go to number 15. And that's where I have Seattle. The Seattle Seahawks is coming in at 15. This is a little high, I think, for a lot of people, but I have come around to the additions that they may have had on this roster in terms of where their weapons are. Sam Darnold, serviceable quarterback. Obviously, he can make things happen and did with the Minnesota Vikings. Jackson Smith Njigba is a legit wide receiver in this National Football League. He proved it last year. Cooper Kupp, fantastic compliment to him on the other side in terms of the wide receiver position. I like what they have with Torrey Horton, who is obviously a guy here locally that we can be rooting for in terms of the wide receiver position. He's made his way up the depth chart as a rookie possibility. I like what they did with drafting in the line position as well. And then on the defensive side, they're going to have to figure things out in terms of that, but I think it can come around as the season goes along. They got big Leonard Williams in the middle. They got DeMarcus Lawrence as a linebacker as well. I think this is a team that could surprise as much as people don't expect it. Seattle here at 15 is a formidable team.
I think that's just right. I think that for some it might be a little bit too high, but the reality is that it's a team with a lot of weapons. It just feels like they're missing that superstar.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing that quarterback or that, you know, that one wide receiver. You don't have Metcalf anymore, you know. It's a new team, basically, pretty much.
Well, that's why I think Smith and Jigba is the guy who can elevate to that level. And I'm investing into that. That's where I feel like it can be. And Torrey Horton, maybe he's the guy too, because you never know what these wide receivers that pan out. In terms of it, I think he's got a legit upside, especially maybe even me just being a little bit of a homer for the Central Valley guys. But that's where I got it. To number 14, I have your San Francisco 49ers here at number 14. Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, the entire cast of characters are back in terms of that side of things. But the wide receiver position is of a concern for me just in the start of things for this Niners team. Can this be a team that comes on strong towards the tail end of the season? I do believe that's the possibility. Ayuk is going to be ready by week 6. Juwan Jennings is going to be healthier sooner rather than later. DeMarcus Robinson, who is under a suspension for the first three games. He'll come back with a lot of upside. Sky Moore addition, Brian Robinson addition. I just named all of the entire offensive weapons there, but at least there's something being built around it. On the defensive side, I think there's some significant opportunity for some young guys to make some big additions to this level for the defensive here. Fred Warner, obviously one of the top linebackers in the NFL, him fully healthy instead of playing on that, what, fractured ankle, it seemed like, that hindered him into a, what, middling linebacker. I think he can make things a lot better for this team. D. Winters is taking a step up. Nick Bosa can be healthy. But the question is health, and do I trust it? I have him hedging right here at 14. It's a tough division. I got the Niners here at 14.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Maybe a little low, but yeah, they could have 13, 14, maybe 16 or 15, I mean. But I think that's about right. A lot of weapons they still have in the offensive game, but the defense got dismantled. So, you know, there's that plus the lingering, you know, the lingering effects of a really bad season that, you know, creeped over to the offseason and injuries and I think that's about right.
Well, the key thing is Robert Saleh can be the defense whisperer he used to be in San Francisco. You could have a uptick of production out of this defense like maybe we saw in 2019, and maybe we get the cycle of this in 2019. Robert Saleh defense starts coming out in terms of this, so maybe that's where the upside is in this defense, and who knows, maybe we see it, maybe we don't, but I'd like it here. Final team in this foursome, I got a number 13, the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos coming in at 13. A lot of people like what they've been building through what they've added. I'm kind of hedging here based off of a sophomore slump of Bo Nix, because it's just a possibility sometimes when you have a very good rookie season at quarterback. Teams are going to know what to do against you. So Bo Nix and this company of teams, of this players here on this Denver Broncos side, could have a little bit of an issue when they play up a little bit. But they're playing a third-place schedule in this AFC West. I think they could have still some success in finding some victories here and there. Courtland Sutton, underrated wide receiver. Marvin Mims, fantastic. Troy Franklin, a good option as well. They've added to the line in terms of that. J.K. Dobbins, the hope is he stays healthy in terms of that. They could be an issue there in the run game. Dre Greenlaw, great addition there in that defense. It's going to look more like the Niners in the mountains with Talanoa Hufanga as well being an addition to that secondary, and adding with Pat Surtain, who's been fantastic. But I got the Broncos here at 13 based off of what we've seen into what I could project for this season.
Yeah, I think, it's a team that might be too low.
Yeah,
I feel like, I think there's more upside to this team. But, they took pretty much every all-star the Niners had and put them in their defense. So I feel like they already had pretty good weapons in offense, so that pretty much makes it a complete team. The only downside to being Broncos is that they're in the AFC West, and you have, pretty good teams there. So we'll see if they could, manage that conference and come out on top.
We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot to be learned of this team and of this entire. They're more volatile, in my opinion. They have a big floor and a big ceiling. They could really take a leap or, could falter here moving forward. But that's what we got for my power rankings. We're going to continue it next week when we get into the top 12. So we're going to do it for the next few days next week. So stay tuned for that. All right. Jorge, why don't we take a break and wrap up the show? We'll be right back on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench on here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. One more segment before we say goodbye for the show proper. We're not going anywhere, though. It's 6:30. We're going to be live on 1430 ESPN Fresno for Inglewood versus Central East. 6:30, 7 p.m. kickoff. You want to be there. Paul Metters and I going to be there at Collegian Stadium tonight. And I'll be heading there over there momentarily. Yeah, a little bit for what should be a fantastic football game. Little reminder of the schedule once again here in the tail end of our show. Giants and Brewers coming up this weekend. We'll not have the game tonight, but we'll have the games tomorrow and Sunday. Giants game tomorrow is going to be a 3:40 pregame with a 4:10 first pitch. And then on Sunday, it'll be 11:10 in the morning with an 11:40 first pitch from Milwaukee. A's on 790 this weekend. A's Mariners is going to be a 6:30 pregame with a 7:05 first pitch against Seattle. Tomorrow, it'll be 30 minutes earlier, 6 p.m. pregame with a 6:35 first pitch from Seattle. And then Sunday, the A's and the Mariners will play day baseball, 12:30 pregame with a 1:05 first pitch against the Mariners. So that's what we got. Also, Paul Metters Show, Central Valley Sports Report, back 10 a.m. to noon again tomorrow. First String Sports live on 1430 ESPN, 10 a.m. to noon once again. And another reminder, also speaking of Paul Metters and his hosting duties, he'll be back this next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 27th, for an edition of the FPU Sunbird Sports Show, which makes its return on 790 from 6 p.m. to 7. That's starting this Wednesday, coming Wednesday, on the 27th of this month, and will run every Wednesday, schedule provided.
Well, that's what we're planning, so they might get a little bit delayed, but we'll see.
Okay. At least that's what we've heard.
Yes.
All right. Stay tuned. But it's to my belief we will have a show this Wednesday.
My belief, too.
All right. We believe, Jorge. Got to keep the faith. Speaking of this weekend, I think I know the answer to this, but what are you watching this weekend, Jorge?
I am going to watch the Niners, but I'm going to do it at my friend's house.
Yeah.
She's having a pool party.
So pool party? And I'm not invited?
No, you're not. I'm gonna distress from work, so I don't want anybody there from work.
I could trigger you, Jorge, as far as the work is concerned. No, I get it. Got Fresno State this weekend.
That's right, yeah.
It's 3:30 kickoff. Kind of right in the middle of the mid-afternoon. So it's kind of, it feels like it's like a Super Bowl time for me. It's just kind of like
it does.
Kind you know, it's kind of like time. Leading up with the parties and everything like that, getting ready, and people are probably making food at home and all that great stuff.
There's gonna be a lot of soccer, a lot of football, a lot of everything. It's all starting up back up again, so it feels good.
You know what
feels
I'm good. Watching also?
Some golf.
Golf's good. Our guy Tommy Fleetwood has a 1-shot lead right now. Who is looking for his first PGA win. And let me tell you.
I'm just trying my hardest.
He is. He's just trying his hardest. Tommy Fleetwood. Listen, no, that's his kid at the Masters Par 3 contest. You got to look at that.
That was the cutest interview ever. Because he was being for reals.
I'm just trying my hardest.
He's just trying his hardest. And I hope he wins. That would be his first PGA win, which would be the Tour Championship.
Nice.
Nice one to win. I believe the purse for the winner is, I think, $10 million or something like that.
That's good.
Biggest purse in golf in terms of.
I should have been a golfer.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of money in golf, Jorge. Could have been a soccer player, too. I think there's a lot of money in that. Do soccer players get paid a lot?
Well, yeah.
The most?
Well, it depends on who where they play. If they go to Europe, they play. Yeah. They get paid more.
Do tennis players get paid the most?
I think so. I think they're usually the ones with the more. But it's more about sponsorships than anything, really.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be watching. I also personally will be watching Red Sox and Yankees this weekend. Last night was just phenomenal. Just if you missed it, folks, because I know you all care. Red Sox, Yankees last night. Yankees committed like 18 errors in one game, walked like 40 guys. Red Sox couldn't get a single base hit with the bases loaded. It felt like Giants baseball for a little bit. But finally, with a runner in scoring position in the ninth inning, they were already up 4-3, but Roman Anthony, the Roman Empire, has invaded Gotham, which was a great call from Will Fleming, Dave Fleming's brother, on the Red Sox radio network. Oh, my God. It was an amazing moment for the kid. His first game against the Yankees. First game in Yankee Stadium in the Boston Red Sox and Yankees rivalry, and he hits a tank job. And I saw the video that MLB posted of it just being like in the stadium, not part of the broadcast, but like just like the live in person stadium video. And I commented, I'm like, why is this video 5 hours long? Because I just kept watching and watching and watching him hit that homer. So there's that meme, you know, the guy who's like, thank you for literally saving my life. And he's like, I'm literally Roman Anthony. Or anything, you know. You know what I'm talking about, Jorge?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. They say men only think about the Roman Empire all the time, and I do as well, but in another capacity. All right. Anyways, it's going to be a good weekend. Jorge, did you give me your official, because we did with Tamvir and Chloe when she was in, but did you give me your official Fresno State prediction for Saturday? I don't think you did.
I don't think I did.
Yeah. What do you got?
Ooh, I'm going to go
32-30. Who winning?
Bulldogs. I think it's going to be a close one.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel, watching their roster and thinking, like, I feel like they're two very similar teams.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, like, this one superstar, but they're, like, all together, they're pretty good.
Okay.
So, it's, I don't know, it just feels like they're very, very similar.
Face there. The line has moved up, by the way. I've seen 13.5. I've even seen it move up to 14.5. It was 12.5 for a while. So, I don't know what's changing. I don't know if people are just.
Well, it's full. It's a full stadium.
Yeah.
First sellout
since 2009 for a home opener for Kansas. So everybody's going to be there. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait till Fresno State shuts about everybody up by the end of that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Take it.
It's going to be good.
I'm fired up. Can't wait.
Want to see EJ throw some real bombs out there.
Bombs, big time runs, big time hits.
Ah, Donaldson.
Yeah.
In the bright lights of Fox midday afternoon.
We'll take it. All right, Jorge, we're going to take a break. And when I mean a break, it means end of this show. We'll be back 6:30 for our high school Friday Night Lights broadcast, Central East Inglewood, coming up then. Until then, have a great weekend.